Stay right there in your easy chair for 30 minutes of pleasure. Don't you go, it's Melinda's show. It's the talk of the desert.
It's the talk of the desert with Melinda Reed.
I just love coming home at night. I turn around, she's a treasure. Everyone and everywhere I go, she's the talk of the desert.
Now, here's Melinda.
I can't believe I am sitting on the Talk of the Desert set with a legend, this absolute legend who everybody adores.
Oh, Melinda.
And that's Carol Channing. Carol, welcome to Talk of the
Harry.
No, it's not Harry. I'm going to introduce Harry in a minute.
Thank you, Melinda.
But I'm so excited to have you here. And now you may introduce Harry.
Harry, yes. Collegian.
Yes.
Yes, and he has, and now I have this whole family. I mean, I'm the last of the Channings, practically.
Oh, are you really?
Oh, yes, I am. I have a cousin here in the desert. That's why I'm here. I live here.
Okay. Okay,
just two
right,
blocks from.
Right.
But I'm here. Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, Harry is so darling, and he just adores you, Carol.
Do you think so, Melinda?
I think so. He's told me so many wonderful things.
He did.
And I'm so glad he's joining you because we're going to also talk later in the show about the foundation that you've started for
yes,
the arts.
Yes, we have.
Yes, but. Yes. Let's tell our audience, the exciting thing is that you and Debbie Reynolds are going to be at the McCallum Theater right here in Palm Desert
yes.
on January 26th and 27th.
Yes.
Yes.
Together. She's an old friend and I adore her.
And I can't, we all adore you too, Carol, but I can't believe you, Carol Channing, and Debbie Reynolds on the same stage. It's got to be pretty magnificent.
It must look pretty peculiar. She comes up to my waist, and she's so cute and little, and just and so I feel very, you know, like like the giant. Who is it? David.
Yes.
Just slim him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I think that's going to be exciting now. How are you two going to work on the show together?
Oh, we're working it out.
Okay.
We're starting with songs we never heard of, and and we're going to do dance steps and things, and we wind up together and. And gee, I like her.
Oh.
I just like working with her. It's unusual, I know, but she sent me a Christmas card here in the desert. I didn't know her yet. And she sent me a Christmas card about 4 years ago, and she wrote in it, "You're in my prayers."
Aww.
Isn't that a sweet thing to do?
It is marvelous. Isn't that marvelous?
I just loved it because I was going through some deep water at the time, and I'm an only child, and now I have a whole big Armenian family. Harry's Armenian.
Oh, he is.
The most beautiful people you ever want to see.
Well, he's so handsome.
Yeah. I think so.
Yes. Well,
when he was 13 years old, and I was 12,
yes.
He looked biblical. He looked kind of like Moses sitting on Mount Sinai.
Oh, we have to tell the audience that you two were junior high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
And after, 70 years, you got back together and got married a few years ago.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, I think it's just a marvelous story, Carol.
Yes.
Yes.
But we're not just 70 years old, Melinda.
Oh, well, I know, but you see, I read on the internet the age that the internet says you are, and I don't believe it. You know,
because
everything on the internet is not totally factual.
Oh, isn't it?
No, it's not. Because the internet says you're 85.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm 86 in a few days.
Oh, you're 86.
Next month.
January.
Yes.
And,
so,
and what are you?
I'll be 87.
87.
I'll be 87 next week. Yes.
So there we are.
You robbed the cradle, is that right, Harry? Sorry.
Boy, what a cradle. Wow.
Oh, yeah, what a cradle. No joke. You two are just so adorable and so wonderful. But Carol, let's get the audience interested in coming to see you at the McCallum Theater at the end of January.
Well, for what you mean, we're going to do?
Well, what you're going to do, but I mean your career, because your career spans everything. I mean, I printed off 8 pages on the internet of things that you've starred in, different TV shows, Broadway, movies. I mean, name it, you've done it. But it's really interesting. Most of the time it says starring herself, herself, herself. As very rarely do you play a character, except, of course, for Dolly Levi.
Yeah, she's a character.
She is.
And so was Lorelei Lee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah.
And so was Ruth Sherwood. She was a genius. She was a female Mark Twain in Wonderful Town. Mm-hmm. I got to play her. And the reviews here on the Desert Sun, yeah, said she plays it for genius, and she was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite movies is Thoroughly Modern Millie. I mean, I love that movie.
Oh, did you like that?
I love that
movie. Did you know that I was on that xylophone, do you remember that scene?
Yes.
And those were the actual notes that my feet had to go on because George Roy Hill, the director, insisted that, but Julie Andrews was heaven to work with.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she's a great star.
Mm-hmm.
She came to me and said, yes, and better than anyone, you know your character, Muzzy. And if I were playing Muzzy, I would know Muzzy better than anyone. But I'm hogging the conversation. You must stop me, Melinda.
No, you're supposed to hog the conversation.
Oh, really?
You're the celebrity. I'm just the facilitator of the show, you see.
Facilitator?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What a facilitator.
But, Carol, you and I share something in common. We were both born in Seattle.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I was born near Alderwood.
I was born in Linwood, so that's just like across the street from each other.
I'll be darned.
Yeah,
Linwood,
exactly.
I don't think, was there when I was born.
It could be.
And I've met, Melinda, so many people who say that their mother was in the same bed that my mother was in when we were born together.
Yes.
And I look at these very crotchety old people that say that they were in my bed when I was born. And I realized that, you know, if there were that many people, there wouldn't be room for them all.
That's right, exactly.
But they do tell
exactly.
me
exactly. Carol, when did you get interested in having a show business career? The fourth grade, and what attracted you?
Well, Bobby Schmaltz nominated me for secretary. You don't know him.
Don't know
Commodore Sloan Grammar
don't
School.
Know. Never heard of him.
You don't know Bobby Schmaltz?
I'd have hit him in the nose if I didn't know him.
No. He just nominated me. He wasn't stuck on me or anything. Nobody was. But Bobby nominated me for secretary of the student body. And the procedure was you were to get up on the stage
and
tell your fellow students why they should vote for you. Well, mm-hmm. naturally, I couldn't think of one reason. So, like so many only children, I brought home with me in my imagination wonderful people that I met during that day. And so I love the principal of school, Miss Berard. And so she was apparently the forerunner of Julia Childs. And so I had her, I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll turn into somebody else. That's what I do the best. So I didn't, what can I say? Why should you should vote for me? So I stood there and I said, Miss Berard, Miss, what have you to say, Miss Berard? And she's, go to the polls and vote for Carol, you see. And they all laughed, and they knew who it was right away, and she laughed. That was the important thing, because
mm-hmm.
there was no malice, and she knew it.
Mm-hmm.
She knew
mm-hmm.
it, that I was just fascinated with it, because I found every excuse to go in her office.
Aww.
And listen to her and watch her mouth work. Now people tell me, Carol, that's adenoids. Lots of people have it. But I didn't know it. I thought it was fascinating.
Well, but that attracted you to the stage because you got a response from people in the audience, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And did you win?
Oh, but almost as much as when I ran for vice president of the student body at Aptos Junior High School in San Francisco. Harry was the leader of the school band. And I was, I never got off the school auditorium stage.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so that's kind of a marriage right there. And Harry, I needed a campaign song for vice president.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Harry and the band and I got together, which we moved like a phalanx all over San Francisco. Harry booked us, being a smart Armenian. He booked us on weekends, old political rallies. Where all did you?
Well, you know, first of all, Carol, it wasn't a school band. It was our band.
Oh.
I mean, I just put the guys together, you know, and we had one girl. What was her name? Barbara, play the accordion.
Crisp.
Crisp, right. And we would book outside, and we were a pro band. Oh, and you used to sing for us. You used to sing songs, especially at political rallies. But you'd sing When Irish Eyes Are Smiling and so forth.
But Carol, did you get paid?
I never.
Ice cream cone. That's all she got.
He gave Sammy Perazzo, the drummer, he gave him, how much did you give him?
$1.
$1.
That's right. And, well, I only got $5 for the whole night.
I got a 3-decker ice cream cone after every show.
Good for you.
And I'll never forget it, the first one. And it had nuts on the top and a cherry and whipped cream.
Oh, still your favorite thing, huh?
Well, he was my favorite thing.
I see.
I mean,
yes,
he was just beautiful.
When did you get started into, quote, professional show business?
Oh, not until after Bennington College. Mm-hmm. Not until then.
What did you major in college?
Drama dance.
I got
better grades in human biology and
really?
And algebra and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Boring things. Which shows you that once you're exposed to the arts, you suddenly get smarter in dull things like like mathematics.
Right.
Yes, it's true, because that's why we're here. Well, anyway.
One of the reasons, yeah.
Carol and Harry, we only have a couple minutes of the break, and I wanted to see how you got to Broadway, because you did, 5,000 performances of Hello, Dolly? Right.
Yes, it was over that.
Over that.
Yes, 5,000, and I never missed a one.
That's what I thought I read, yes.
Well, no, Kalamazoo, Michigan,
yes.
And Mr. Merritt called me and said, if you're going to miss a show, Kalamazoo is a place. I hope none of you come from Kalamazoo, the place to miss it.
Now, why did you miss Kalamazoo?
I had food poisoning.
Oh, well, that's a good excuse.
Yeah.
But it happened during the show.
Yeah.
I got a chance to see you on Broadway in Hello, Dolly! In the spring of 78, because I was going to school in Manhattan at the time. And I mean, I was blown away that I could get to see Carol Channing on Broadway in Hello, Dolly! And here you are, just a couple of years later, in my studio doing Talk of the Desert, you know.
Oh, so. Melinda. I'm thrilled to be on your show, because I have one cousin.
Yes.
One cousin, my mother's sister's son, Richard Long, and he's one of the first presidents of the Thunderbird Club, and he just adores your show.
Whoa, good,
he loves your show.
And he's the one, huh?
He's the one.
Give me 93. We're going to have a mutual birthday next Wednesday.
That's right.
On December 27th.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He'll be 93. And Harry's, what are you?
I'm 87.
87.
But it's just a number, isn't it?
It's just a number.
I don't know what it is. It doesn't mean anything to us.
No. That's right, exactly.
No.
Anyway, we got to take a break here, Harry and Carol. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about your career and talk about the foundation that you started for the arts.
Oh, that's exciting.
We'll be right back with the Carol Channing and Harry Collegiate. Okay, now we're still on channel.
Now, back to Melinda with her charming guest, Carol Channing.
Well, I can't disappoint Carol Channing in any shape or form. She says she was disappointed she didn't get to sing the campaign song.
Well,
so you want to
composed it, see.
Yes, okay.
And I was 12 and he was 13.
Right, right.
And would you put us in?
Sing the campaign song,
all right,
Carol.
Sing it with
you. Yeah, I will.
The band sang it with
you. Yes.
Here we go.
Okay.
We want Carol. We want Carol.
When I'm vice president, we'll all leave school at 12 o'clock. When I'm vice president,
we want Carol. We want Carol.
Melinda, we sang it until the whole student body was singing it with us. And the poor girl running against me.
She didn't have a chance, did she?
Two votes. But she was a snob.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, but you were running for vice president. And what was that little ditty that we made up?
Oh, we had a campaign slogan.
Yep.
Harry, mostly. He's very intellectual.
Oh. Go ahead.
If Carol's your vice, it's a virtue. Do you like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Vice President.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
We won
okay.
Good for
I'm
you.
Glad we now know that song. I will be singing it all night long.
George Fenneman was president.
Yes. Oh, really?
Him?
Yeah, of course.
Junior High School. Course. This is in 1933.
I love it.
At Junior High School on Ocean Avenue and Aptus Avenue in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Not too far. We're from California State University. San Francisco is located. Thank you.
What did you get that in for?
I don't know.
Oh. He went to California State.
He's not in the business, Carol, so we understand. He's a little, never mind. he's a civilian is what have people have called him, you know. Oh, yes.
I see.
Yes. Carol, how did you get to Broadway? I mean, we've only got a couple of minutes here because we want to talk about the foundation with Harry. But
To Broadway.
Yeah, I mean.
Well Bennington College has you're supposed to go and get a job at whatever it is you're majoring in.
During the summer months.
Mm-hmm. Winter period.
Oh, winter period. Okay.
And you go during the winter because it snows up there and you can't get out. So I went down to the William Morris Agency, mm-hmm. I guess is the biggest one.
Right.
And I asked to speak with the president, Mr. A. You know, you do that at 18 years
old. Yes, you're very bold.
Very bold. And you want to see the president. Yeah. And my gosh, the secretary opened the door. By some mistake, I got to go in and I had a little drum and I did. Bennington is a progressive college for young women.
Mm-hmm.
So the girls had to, there were no men at the time, but there were, there were about 8 drama boys. That's also, the girls had to be really progressive. Well, anyway, so I auditioned for him and he said, you know, you should go to Mark Blitzstein. He writes modern American operas. I'm going to send you over there. I was singing wonderful things like the Orestes funeral chant. Yes, and he said I should do someone perhaps better known than Orestes. I did a Haitian corn grinding song. Oh, it was marvelous. And I had this drum.
Yeah.
And then I did a wonderful thing. What was it?
A pogrom.
Pogrom, yes. Oh, the story of the pogrom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wild. It's just cruel. And all that. So I sang that.
Yeah, yes.
And then Yul Brynner asked me to be on his television show.
Uh-huh.
He had a television show. And he said, I want to do a duet with you. So I said, okay, do you do Gari Gari? Well, it's the cruelest thing. It's Kazakhs coming down over the hill in Russia, over the hill, down into the villages, the thatched roofs and everything. And it's, they rape the grandmothers. They rape the, they take the firstborn and send them to the, it's the cruelest thing you've ever heard. We did it. We were wildly cruel. We thought we were fabulous. But only 7 people had bought television sets at the time.
Yeah, really.
And nobody knows who bought them, and we'll never know if they enjoyed it, so I don't know what to do. And in fact, I'm going to do it when Jebby Reynolds and I are
you
there, because I don't know what to do with this song.
Gotti,
gotti, hi, bub, chikamaki, hi, bub, krasa, rich, rich, rugliadiki.
You're on Yul Brynner's TV show. How'd you get to Broadway?
That's it.
That was it.
But I don't know what to do with this song. I mean, Mark Blitzstein took
me. Well, you know what? I'll have you back as a guest on Talk of the Desert, and I'll let you do it on Talk of the Desert. How's that?
Oh, thank
yes.
you.
Oh. We'll have Harry's band back you up.
Oh, is he still alive? Yeah. Sammy Perazzo is still alive. But who knows? Maybe all
no,
of them.
No, they're all gone.
They're all gone. Just Sammy. Well, we'll have drums.
Sammy,
Carol, one of your famous lines is, "A diamonds are a girl's best friend."
Yes.
Tell me how that came up.
Oh, Anita Loos wrote a wonderfully funny diary about Lorelei Lee, mm-hmm. a barefoot bumpkin from the foot of the Ozarks, who came to New York, and she brought virginity to every man she met. And she just enjoyed it and loved it, and that was the story of mm-hmm. Lorelei Lee. Mm-hmm. Marilyn Monroe did it in the movies.
Of course.
Yes, but of course my foot, she wasn't the least bit funny, I thought. She was gorgeous, but gorgeous is not what Lorelei was necessarily. You know, and she was beautiful. You just wanted to hug her and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But Lorelei was hilarious. I mean, she shot Jennings because he was the judge, because right. Judge Jennings. But the bullet only went in one hip and came out right out the back again. Why did everybody want to send her to jail? But he picked me out. He loved me, and he took me home with him.
Well, and you have a lovely diamond on your hand right now, my friend. But
Harry's mother's diamond.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's her wedding
ring.
It's
gorgeous.
And I used to watch her make baklava on Saturdays with the old-fashioned wooden rolling pin. I thought Harry's house was the most exotic in San Francisco.
Probably was, huh?
Oh, it was. It was Armenian, right from the old country.
Well, I have to tell you, Carol, because I know we're coming to the close of the show and we want to talk about your foundation and more about January 26th and 27th in the Callum. But one of the funniest things I have ever seen was about 4 years ago, there was a tribute to Bob Hope's 100th birthday at the McCallum Theater here. It was called Hope and Humor. And you donated your time and did a part of your show there for that tribute to Bob.
Yeah.
And Rich Little was the MC, one of the MCs for the event. Right. So you had just finished being Carol Channing on stage and doing your act, and Rich Little comes out on stage doing Carol Channing, and the two of you were on stage together. I mean, I was laughing so hard, I had tears streaming down my face.
Isn't he the funniest man?
Oh, he, yeah, absolutely.
You know, none of us knows, no one of us knows what we're like.
Right, exactly.
We don't know. No. But every time I turn to him to smile, he looked just like my father. Exactly.
Really?
Yes. You know, Melinda's tall and slender and beautiful.
Yes.
Her father's how tall?
My dad's 6'2".
6'2", and he only weighs?
165 pounds.
165 pounds. Melinda eats all the desert food she wants to, and she still only weighs, what is it?
Well, let's see, 123 this morning.
Oh, boy. Isn't
oh, boy.
It something?
Well, and I actually told my real weight. What do you know? Harry, let's talk about the foundation that you two have started for the arts.
Sure. Carol, it all started actually with Carol when I recognized and realized that my life had been changed when I was a little kid and was with Carol. My father was an immigrant from Turkey. Carol's family were one of the more prominent families in San Francisco, her family. And she exposed me to the art. She used to read Shakespeare to me, and I would sit in awe of hearing all these words. And then she would read Edgar Allan Poe, and what was that?
Annabelle Lee.
Annabelle Lee by the Sea. That's right. And then we'd go to hear the symphonies at Sigmund Stern Grove, or the Palace of Fine Arts,
or the old Civic Auditorium.
The Civic Auditorium. Yeah. 10 cents, and. All these things, and I never realized all my life what had happened to me just recently. Carol and I have only been married 3.5 years, and recently I realized, wait a minute, Harry, your whole life, even though I was married 60 years to my former wife who passed away,
it's a beautiful 60-year marriage.
I never realized what arts had done to me. It enriched my life. It made me a better human being. And I learned then, Carol, you are probably one of the more beloved women in the United States today, in the world, really.
Absolutely.
Today. And, you know, you could teach kids, you could establish scholarships. Carol is establishing in the largest university system in the world, right here in California, California State University, 23 campuses. She's lecturing, teaching kids. High school kids are drawn into the university. She's establishing scholarships with her own money. And
ask the best questions, but, Melinda.
I bet.
And it feeds my life. Suddenly, it's the most important work I've ever done in my life, but they wouldn't ask me if I didn't do the other work first.
Right, exactly. You got it.
But what's the goal? What's the underlying goal?
Right.
The underlying goal is all the arts for all our children in all public schools from grades K through university. Because when they're exposed to the arts, we have found in our research that they're smarter in class, they learn more, they get better grades, and there's less truancy in our kids. And we've allowed the arts to be one of the most underfunded things in the state of California. And so our purpose now, our goal is to go to the governor, to go to the legislature, and have the Chancellor, Charles Reed, go on, and we're going to do a television special on this at the right time. We lecture all over the United States on the importance of the arts. And this, Carol, this is what I'm so proud of you for. And thank you for allowing me the privilege of even saying it.
Absolutely.
On television.
We're the you're the first person we've told.
Oh, I have a scoop on Talk of the Desert.
You have a
what
scoop.
Do you know?
Yes. You do. No, but really you are, because Harry keeps saying, no, we have to do it first and then tell it. Lots of people go talking grandly around about what they're going to do for the arts.
Well, there's more information on your website, carolchanning.org, and you have to check it out. It's a marvelous website. You're performing with Debbie Reynolds on January 26th and 27th at the McCallum. Call 340-ARTS for tickets.
And we're working together.
Dynamite show. I'm sure of that. Carol, we have 30 seconds. Do you have a final word for our audience? You're going to sing Hello Dolly?
You want me to sing? You know,
She'll do it.
Hello Melinda. Yeah. Well, hello Melinda. Doesn't fit right, does it?
No.
But I want to.
How about me, Harry?
Oh yeah, he thinks Jerry Herman wrote Hello Harry. Well, hello yeah. Louie. It's so nice. Yeah. He thinks he wrote it for him.
Well, let him think that, okay?
Really?
Yeah. I want to thank the darling, wonderful Carol Janning for being my wonderful guest on Talk of the Desert, and your handsome husband.
Oh, you think so?
Yes.
I just think so too.
Harry Collegian, and you two are dynamite people. Absolutely. And you're welcome back to Talk of the Desert anytime you want, and to talk more about the foundation as it progresses here and everything. So.
Well, we've only done 5 of our campuses, and we've got 23 campuses.
18 more to go.
18 more to go. So as we go along, could we come and report to you?
Absolutely.
You've got it.
Thank you, too, for joining me on Talk of the Desert, and thank you, audience, for joining us.
She's the Talk of the Desert.